Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Just shut your eyes. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Just put your hand on your heart. Father God, I bow my knee before you. Holy Spirit of truth, use me today, I pray. Do something new. Start something new. And just with your hand on your heart, let me lead you in prayer. Just say, Holy Spirit of truth, I open my heart to you. I cooperate with you. I'm listening. Speak to me, Lord, words of truth that will bring transformation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Please take your seats. Praise God. Well, my message today is called My Whole Heart. And, you know, it's interesting because the way that my book opens is how I want to start this message. And, you see, I remember when I was praying and I was asking God, Father, give me an illustration of what the heart is like that will help your people. And this is what God showed me. He showed me this huge vault. And I want you to imagine a really huge vault. And the vault has a massive door, thick, with one of those big wheels on the front. And as you open that vault and you look in, it's filled with rows upon rows upon rows of filing cabinets. And each filing cabinet has several drawers. And each drawer has many, many, many folders. And in each folder, there are several little files. And each one of those little files contains a memory, a sentiment. Sometimes it's a smell that takes you straight back somewhere. It contains expressed emotions and unexpressed emotions. And now I want you to see the door of that filing cabinet. And, you know, really, I picture that because that is how God showed me that your heart is. You see, the Bible says in Psalm 64, verse 6, that the inner thought and heart of man is deep. Right now, put your hand on your heart and just say, my heart is so deep. My thoughts are so vast. You see, our hearts are like that. They're vast, they're deep, they're complex. The Bible says, who can know his own heart? And it means what it says. You know, I want you to imagine, you know, a man, and he had a really bad limp in one leg. You know, so he walks with a stick. Bad limp. But as well as that, partially blind in one eye, slightly hard of hearing, arthritis in the fingers, right? You got the picture? And then that man has this amazing encounter with Jesus. And he's instantly healed in his right leg. And he throws away his cane and he starts to run around going, hallelujah, I'm healed, I'm healed. And from that day forward, walks away from the healing journey and just says, ha, praise God, the transformation. Others see it. They realize this man who once limped now can run and walk. And everyone goes, this is amazing. They celebrate. And he says, it's done. I'm done. But then he looks in the mirror and he can only see his image partially because he's partially blind in one eye, still hard of hearing and still has arthritic fingers. You see, we're like that with our hearts. We allow God to do a work, But then we kind of say, great, job done. And I want to look at just a few scriptures about the heart, and then we're going to touch on a few what I've called heart habits that produce outcomes in our lives. But you see, the Bible says so many things about the heart. It's quite remarkable. You know, I've mentioned that scripture about the inner thought and heart of man is deep. You know, you are deep, and many of your thoughts and emotions and sentiments are really buried very deeply on the inside. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's deep. You know, there's a big expression among the young people at the moment. It's not that deep. How many of you have heard that? You know, they just go, it's not that deep. It's not that deep. And do you know how many times they say that when really it is deep? You know, someone, you know, disses them and they're feeling really bad about it. And it's not that deep. But actually, as a result of what was just said, they're hurt deep. You know, there's a lot of stuff that comes out of our mouths that just isn't true. You know, but the Bible also says that the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. You know that scripture, Proverbs 20, verse 27, searching all the inner depths. Well, did you know where it says searching all the inner depths? You know, it's this word cavern, apartments. So you see, you've got to realize your heart has many, many caverns, apartments, caves, crevices, hidden corners, places, and God wants to search it out. You know, another analogy that God showed me was like, you know, imagine if you realize, gosh, there's so much clutter in my home. How many of you know your home's cluttered? Don't put your hand up, it's all right. We got to deal with clutter. Turn to your neighbor and say, deal with the clutter. And we have to do it in our homes, but we have to do it in our hearts. And you know, let me give you another example with the heart. You know, we might say, right, we're gonna declutter. And so we go into the sitting room, the living room, we go into the dining room, the kitchen, and we declutter all the public rooms. And so now, yeah, job done. Job done. Are you hearing? I don't know what he's talking about. But the truth is, upstairs, ooh, spare room, ee. Are you getting me? And, you know, the Bible also says that he fashions their hearts individually. Just put your hand on your heart again and say, I'm unique. You see, your heart is unique. No other heart is like your heart. And there's only one person who truly understands it. Now, in the context of this vast cavern, which is your heart, this vast vault, which has many caverns, I should say, is your heart. That has all these hidden areas and bits. It's that heart. Say that heart, that it says in Proverbs 4, verse 23, will determine the course of your life. Say that heart. Your deep, complex heart with so many hidden, you know, it says in Genesis 6, verse 5, I think it is, when God was looking at people and he was just going, oh my goodness, this place is a mess. And he talked about the intents of the hearts of the people. In other words, the intents of the thoughts of the hearts, rather. In other words, that's not just a thought in your head that you're aware of. It's a thought in your heart. And the Bible says even those deep heart thoughts that never even enter your head have intent. There's a motive behind deep heart thoughts that we're not even aware of. And based on those deep heart thoughts, God makes decisions about our lives. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to go deep. You see, God doesn't want us to stop. He doesn't want us to stop our healing journey, when we've allowed him to do a bit here and a bit there. You know, I'll never forget a woman who came to Healed for Life and was completely, I mean, changed beyond recognition. I remember when she stood and said, "Oh my goodness, Healed for Life should be available on the NHS. You know, and she didn't know she needed it. She went because somebody she met on a train paid for her to go. Imagine that. And she came to Healed for Life, got completely transformed, and God did an amazing work. And then I remember hearing her, because the next time I met her, she came to Healed for Life, and she was greeting people at the door, and she said, "Oh, hi, I'm healed." And I remember just hearing this woman going, "Oh, my goodness, wow. We need to make sure people understand that the heart is a journey." You know, it's a disservice if we reach the place where we think, "I've arrived." So it's that heart that is that complex that determines how your life will turn out. It's that heart that is the heart God is thinking about when the Holy Spirit prayed through the Apostle John, "Beloved, I pray that you'll prosper in everything to the extent that your soul prospers." It's that heart. Heart and soul throughout the Old and New Testament, the words are almost interchangeable. And it's that heart. Now I want us to read Jeremiah 17, verse 10. And if we can have it up on the screens, please, that would be wonderful. Jeremiah 17, verse 10. Okay, it says, "I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." Now, I want to help you to understand this verse a little bit more. Because you see, Scripture says, "I, the Lord, search." You know, this word "search" means to examine, to penetrate intimately, and to investigate. God is intimately having a really good look around our hearts. He is saying, "Please drop the facades and the barriers and let me shine my light into the depths of your innermost being." Intimate investigation. "I, the Lord, search the heart." I test. That word "test" means I try out. I investigate. It's a very similar meaning to the word "search." But then it says, "I test the mind." I think they've done us a disservice by translating that word "their mind," because it means kidneys. And the sentiment, whenever the word in the Hebrew is used that is kidneys, it means the deepest, most intimate parts of our innermost being. Are you hearing me? So the Bible is saying that God, because he loves you and me, because he wants to promote us, because he wants to release his promises and blessings into our lives, but at a time when we can handle them, turn to your neighbor and say, "Can you handle it yet?" Yeah. And so as a result of all of that, because of his great love, he doesn't want to spoil his children. He says, "I search intimately. I go real deep." You know, sometimes people say, "I don't like it. It's too deep. It's too much." You know what we're saying? Well, I don't want God's ways. Ouch. You know, because this is what he says. And he's saying, "I want to search your inner depths, your most secret places on the inside." Do you remember in Proverbs 4, it says, you know, "Guard your heart, for it determines the course of your life." You know, that word "guard," it says above everything that you take care of. If you look at 100 different translations, you'll realize what it's basically saying is above every priority in your life, prioritize your heart. And then, you see, what the Bible says is, in this verse, if you can have it back up there, it says, "To give to every man according to his ways." You know the interesting thing about this word "ways"? If you can put that back up, please. Jeremiah 17, 10. You see, this word "ways" is very interesting. It means road or mode of action customs. So in other words, God searches the most deep issues of our hearts in order to understand, from having looked really far on the inside of who we really are, to give us according to our ways, our customs, our habits. And I don't believe that the Bible here is talking about whether I get up at 5 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the morning. Does anyone else? He's been talking about the deep secret places. Are you with me? And I believe the habits that God is talking about here are our heart habits. And that is what I want to just briefly talk about today. Three heart habits that can bring transformation if we identify where we're going the wrong way and we instead take the brave step to turn things around and go in the other direction. Praise God. Praise God. Now I want to look at three heart habits. You know, another scripture, Proverbs 20, verse 5, says, "The purposes of a man's heart are deep." The purposes, the intents of a man's heart are deep. But it says, a man of understanding. Right now say, I'm a man of understanding. A man of understanding will draw it out. You see, God wants us to be those who are willing to cooperate with the Holy Spirit of truth and allow the next season of our lives to come into being because of how much we're allowing God to do on the inside. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So I want to look at three heart habits. And you know, let me tell you something. And I was having a chat the other, yesterday at the wedding and with someone, and we were talking about the fact, do you know that the state of our hearts, really, where it shows up most obviously, is in our relationships. Turn to your neighbor and say, relationships. Relationships. Now, the honest truth is, you know, it will show up in our relationships, but you may not even know. What am I on about? Well, you know what? I could be difficult to live with. I could be, you know, a hard person for my husband to get along with. But if he can't even tell me because I'm even so, you know, tightly bound up, then I might not even know the truth about who I really am. But it is the people closest to us who really know the deep issues of our hearts. It always shows up in relationships. And you know, how many of you, you really love some people? There's some people in your life that you really love. Honestly, just put up your hand if you really, really love some people. Let me tell you that the work that we allow God to do on the inside, at the end of the day, it's not really for us. How much we surrender to the searching light of the Holy Spirit. We do it because at the end of the day, it determines our destiny. But the people who will benefit the most, apart from you, is the people that you love the most. It always shows in relationships. It's so true. And, you know, I want to look at three heart habits. Right now, shut your eyes. And just put your hand on your heart again and just say, Holy Spirit, reveal my heart habits to me. Reveal my heart defaults that I may follow your ways. In Jesus' name. Now, the first one I want to talk about, and I've got a little. The first one I want to deal with is blame. Anyone ever done it? You know, we go into God's presence and say, Lord, why haven't you brought my promises to pass? Lord, you gave me your word and I've been waiting a decade. It's not fair, Lord. Oh, we cry in his presence and we're pointing our finger up, and saying it's your fault, God. You know, or then, you know, really from the beginning. Isn't that right? You know, Adam messed up. How many of you know Adam messed up?
Yeah.
Adam messed up. But what's the first thing when the finger of God said, Adam? The first thing he did. Yes. Stand up, Ronke, a minute. Pretend I'm Adam just for the... God says, come stand beside me. God says, you don't need your shoes, don't worry. She does need her shoes. She's in flats. She must have been in some killer heels yesterday. Yes. So God speaks to Adam. And God's saying, Adam, you know, what's the score? What's going on? And what does Adam do? That woman you gave me. So in other words, that woman you gave me. I mean, he's blaming his wife and God. Turn to your neighbor and say, stop blaming. You see, thank you, Ronke. You see, blame is a really big issue. You know, when we take responsibility, when we make that decision on the inside, you know what? I'm going to start to listen to the truth about me. And I'm no longer going to ask, what's wrong with him? What's wrong with her? Why does my boss pick on me? Why is my husband mean? Why is my sister? No, I'm instead going to say, Lord God, Father, is there something in me that needs to change? Are you listening? You know, I want to quickly turn. I'm going to quickly look at, for the three heart habits that I'm talking about, I want to look at three Bible characters who fell into three different traps, I believe. And the first of these is Saul. And, you know, here we have this man that God chose, that God loved, that God said, I know you can do it. You know, when God looks at you, he's saying, I know you can make it. I know that you can fulfill every plan and purpose that I have for you. I know that you can climb that mountain, can kick that habit, can achieve that dream, can fulfill your purpose. He says, I know you can. And God had that heart for Saul too. And, you know, Saul met David, thought, wow, what a great guy. I love David. And he promoted him. And, you know, things were going great. And I just want to read a couple of verses, which, you know, you probably know in 1 Samuel 18. And I'm going to start at verse 5. And it says, so David went wherever Saul sent him. David's heart was pure towards Saul. He went wherever he sent him and behaved wisely. And Saul set him over men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people. Now, it happened one day when they were coming home, when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine. And out came the women singing, dancing to meet King Saul. And the women sang as they danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Then Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they've ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they've ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom? Stuff was going on the inside of Saul. He didn't like what was happening. He didn't like what he was seeing around him. But he got out his finger. His pointing finger, and he blamed David. And he said, this man is after my throne. And he pointed, you know, it's so easy. Now, let me tell you, see, Saul had a good heart. That's what the Bible says. He had a good heart. God sees your heart. He sees your desire to please him and to serve him. But you see, I believe without a doubt that in that moment, Saul just couldn't handle what was going on inside him. Are you listening? And so instead of going, oh God, this feels horrible. Instead of saying, God, I feel so threatened by this spiritual son of mine. Instead, he blames. You know, you will have heard me talk about Rebecca's request. How many of you know you've heard me talk about Rebecca's request? You know, there she was, Isaac's wife, pregnant, And things didn't feel right, and so she prayed a prayer. If all is well, then why am I like this? But let me tell you, that isn't a one-off prayer to be prayed when we're churning on the inside only. I want to invite you into a new heart habit. Say, I'm ready for some new habits. You see, if Saul instead had gone, this feels horrible, and had instead of pointing the finger upwards, instead of pointing the finger sideways, had said, Lord, if all is well, then why am I like this? Let me ask you about your relationships. Think about the people in your lives where it's not going the way you would really want it to. Maybe there's a bit of friction. Maybe there's tension. Maybe you feel that it's just not the way it was. Let me invite you into a new heart habit. Instead of going, what's wrong with her? Why is that one like that? Why don't we start a new heart habit and say, if all is well, then Lord, why am I like this? What do you want to change in me? You know what? We all know this, but can you change your neighbor? No. Come on, let's all say it together. I can't change anyone else. Let that sink down. But who can you change? When we submit to the Holy Spirit, that's the first heart habit that I want to encourage you to engage in. When there's friction at home, do you know what? Get into the presence of God. Father, what's my part in this? Father, how do I? I'm not saying it's all your fault. I'm saying if instead we change our posture for what's wrong with them to God, is there anything you need to change in me? Do you know what? He's going to do a work. He's going to use every time you face friction or difficulty, suddenly the things that once wound you up will become a springboard to greater success. Hallelujah. So the first one's blame. Second one I want to look at is avoidance. Ha! Turn to your neighbor and say, do you stick your head in the sand? Go on, Charlo. Turn to your neighbor and say it. You know, sticking our heads in the sand, you've all heard that expression, does it make it all go away? No. Isn't it amazing how we have these heart habits that are completely useless? Are you listening to me? Avoidance is a massive heart issue. Now, let me tell you something. King David is one of my heroes in Scripture. He has taught me so much about how to pour out my heart like water before the face of the Lord. But let me tell you something else about David. He was not fully healed. Are you listening to me? David went through a lot of healing, but he was not fully healed. How do I know? It always shows in your closest relationships. Are you listening? And David was healed of betrayal. David was healed of friends and leaders attacking him and hurting him. But there were some deep heart issues in the recesses of his soul that he never, ever dealt with. And guess who paid the price? His family. I want to look very quickly at a couple of verses. So 2 Samuel chapter 13. And verse 21, you know the story. David's daughter was raped. David's son raped her. Awful. Absolutely terrible. And what does the Bible say, verse 21? But when David heard of these things, he was very angry. What's the bet? He wasn't just angry, but that's the only emotion in that moment he was able to show. I mean, I'm not going to go there right now. There's so much in this book that is going to help you. You know, sometimes what you're expressing is anger, but what you're really feeling is the deepest sadness or shame. And those things are far too hard to express. But David was very angry. I don't believe he was just angry, because if his daughter just got raped, he's not just going to be angry. But angry he was, the Bible says in verse 21. And then verse 23, it says, verse 23, and it came to pass after 2 full years. In other words, David did nothing. His son raped his daughter. His daughter's heartbroken, and David did nothing about it. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't stick your head in the sand. And you know what happened? So he did nothing. As a result, someone else did. Absalom stepped into the breach. And Absalom said, I can't handle this anymore. Absalom loved his sister. And as a result, Absalom went out and he killed Amnon, David's son, who had raped David's daughter. Are you hearing this? Total mess. Yeah. Complete mess. And then what happened next? Well, Absalom goes on the run. He's gone for 3 years. Did David deal with it? No. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't put your head in the sand. And David didn't deal with it. And in the end, Joab, David's servant, realized, you know, the Bible goes on to say that David was crying. He was mourning after his son Absalom, who he hadn't seen. And so Joab just thinks, this is ridiculous. Puts together a plan, pulls Absalom back so he can be with his father. And then did David deal with it? No. So Absalom comes back living near to David, but the Bible says 2 years Absalom was back in the city, but David did not allow that young man to see his face. He couldn't deal with the issues. You know, so many times there's something goes wrong. It feels like things aren't quite good in our hearts. We don't know what the issue is, but we just go, oh, well, never mind. You know, we see something happening in the lives of our children or our friends, and we're concerned. But you know what? I'm not someone who likes, I don't like confrontation. Number of people say, I don't like confrontation. Listen, get used to confrontation. We serve a confrontational God. He confronts things full of love. David ended up with his own son trying to steal the kingdom from him, and then his own son dead because he never dealt with it. What are the things in your life that you just avoid? I don't want to go there. I don't want to go back there. It hurts. I don't like pain. I don't want to look at this. I don't want to look at that. When we stick our heads in the sand, nothing changes. Now, there's one very quickly as I close I want to mention, and I'm just going to reference the things very quickly. And it's this: doubt and distance. You see, the heart isn't just about healing. Sometimes the heart's about our attitudes deep on the inside. And I'm going to very quickly go through this. You know that day when the news came to Jesus, Lazarus is dead, and Jesus says, don't worry, everyone, we're going to go to the grave because God's got something to do. Did you hear what Thomas said? And I like the way it's put in the message, but Thomas said, oh, come on, we may as well go and we'll all die too. And it's only the message that expresses it like that. But it's only the message that, for me, explains what on earth it is he's saying. I think some sort of doubt had started to get into Thomas's heart already. Maybe he's thinking, oh, you know, he wants the glory for himself. Maybe he's thinking he's working us too hard. When was the last time I got a weekend off? I don't know what he's thinking. But then the next time we see Thomas's name mentioned, it says, and Jesus appeared to them, but Thomas wasn't there. He was missing. You know, a heart issue we've really got to watch is when we allow heart doubt in the realm of our destiny connectors. There are people in your life God has placed there that will connect you to your destiny. And if you shut your heart to those people because you allow the whispers that come from the enemy, that doubt and question, and then after the doubt comes the distance. Thomas allowed distance. And so Jesus showed up, but Thomas was not there. And interestingly enough, we don't hear much from Thomas, well, at all. We never hear his name in the whole of the book of Acts. You see, there are so many ways that the enemy is trying to use the issues of our hearts to cut short what God wants to do. I want to ask you to stand. Yeah, let's put our hands together for Jesus. You see, there's a different heart habit that we can adopt so that we make a decision. God, let me remember from this day forth that when I want to go, what's wrong with you? Instead, I'll go into your presence, Lord, and say, is there anything that you need to change in me? That instead of sticking my head in the sand when things are difficult, that I'll face the difficult issues and I'll be willing to hear the truth. That instead of allowing those doubting voices to cause my heart to harden towards those people who God's placed in my life to bring me to my destiny, that I have a new heart habit, which is, if all is well, Lord, then why am I like this? Just shut your eyes in the presence of God. Lift up your hands. And I just want to give you a moment and just say to the Lord in this time, Father, you can have my whole heart. Just speak to the Lord right now. Invite the Holy Spirit to shine his light into the hidden places, into the issues that you know that you'd rather run away from. And tell the Lord, I surrender to the Spirit of truth. And let's just, with both hands held high right now, just say to the Lord, I surrender to your Spirit. Holy Spirit, have your way in my whole heart. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Why don't you give Jesus praise?